This is bookcareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 94 of bookcareers.com Live. This week I've had another full inbox of job seeker questions. Remember, if you're stuck, do book into the Careers Clinic on the Book Careers website for a quick chat. If you need something longer, we've lots of great services to help you, from getting help with a specific application or interview prep to analysing why you're not getting jobs. And we have some award-winning career guidance. Our paid services start from as low as £59. Let's kick off with the questions. These answers are copyright and extracted from How to Job Search in Book Publishing, to be published later this year. What are the common mistakes that people make in CVs and covering letters that instantly put HR departments off particular applicants? Now, the most common mistakes I see are all basic errors. Spelling, including the misspelling of names, typos, the misuse of words, and by that I mean using the word wandering with the letter A instead of wandering with the letter O. Name checking the wrong publisher, for example. Applying for a job with Penguin Random House with a letter and CV that you sent to HarperCollins and which you've name checked HarperCollins and forgetting to change that to Penguin Random House is a huge turn off. But probably the biggest mistake you can make that will instantly put HR or a recruiter off is by sending a generic CV and covering letter. And it is so easy to spot when you have done this. Firstly, on your CV, the way you express your skills, competences and experience may not be in tune with the job you're applying for. You shouldn't be using the same version of your CV for marketing roles if it's a CV that you might use for administration or an editorial role. Although, to be honest, if you're applying for every single job, regardless of whether it's marketing or editorial, then we need to talk. Because whilst they might look like some of the skills overlap, the reality is that to work in marketing requires a different personality to that of someone who works in editorial. It isn't as simple as extrovert versus introvert. It's far more complex than that, and the best way is to have an extended careers conversation with an RCDP qualified careers advisor such as myself. Now your covering letter. It is so easy to spot when you have topped and tailed your covering letter. That is, you've altered the first paragraph, altered the last paragraph, name-checked the publisher in several times in the middle, but everything else stays the same. It is so blatantly obvious when you have done that, and anyone who sits and reads covering letters can spot a generic covering letter a mile off. It looks lazy, and if you're an employer, do you want to employ someone who is lazy in their application? I thought not, so don't do it. Episode 81 of this podcast covers covering letters. Do go back and have a listen. Still on the subject of covering letters, I've been asked how much space and time should we take in a covering letter to discuss the books of the imprint we are applying to. I would say definitely one paragraph. If relevant, you could possibly take it into a second paragraph, but if you're only writing one side of A4 paper, because that is how long a covering letter should be, then you want to spend time talking about your skills and competences that you can bring to the role. So my recommendation, in most cases, is one paragraph. Next question. How would one stand out if they wanted to go into marketing, and what advice would you give to those struggling to get in? In this vein as well, there was also a question about what courses would you suggest to people who already have a general certificate in publishing but no marketing experience. Now, this is rather a long-winded answer, so do bear with me. To stand out in any application, not just marketing, your application needs to focus on the skills and competencies for the role. This might sound vague, but the main guide for standing out in any role is to match the skills and experiences for that role. I say that because even in marketing, there are different types of marketing roles. There are those which are mainly administration, such as answering catalogue requests, making appointments, coordinating things, maybe updating a database, a website, keeping mailing lists up to date, collating marketing materials. Or it could be a marketing role where you're working on external marketing, where you're working on communications such as monitoring social media channels, creating posts, tweets, scheduling social media posts, and then engaging with the responses. Or you could be in a marketing role where you're involved in updating a newsletter, a website, placing Facebook or social media advertising, and analysing the return on investment, the ROI. What you need to do is to read the job advertisement, look at the skills and competencies the role is asking for, and then see what skills you already have and what skills you need. This doesn't mean go off and start a blog or a side hustle or anything like that. But standing out in any role is about the skills and competencies for the job. What stands out in one application may not stand out in another. For example, for one job, the critical skill and competence might be PowerPoint. For another, it might be InDesign. These will vary according to the needs and wants of the business at that particular time. But that doesn't sound a very helpful answer at the moment. So if you break down marketing, there are probably five major components: newsletters, websites, social media, events, administration. So I would say that you should have an interest in blogs. That doesn't mean start one. Podcasts. Hey, you're listening to this, you're doing good here. Signing up for lots of email newsletters, both for publishers and other big brands, and look in their newsletters how they're reaching their audience, how often they email, how long their emails are, the design, the content. Look at who is doing a good job and who is missing a trick. And look at all publishers of all sizes as to how they're marketing their books. If you've an interest in a niche genre, then compare the major players in that genre. Look at the similarities to how they market their books and the differences. Look at the publishers' websites, particularly the publishers you want to work for. Then you need to look at the discovery of books online, the M word, metadata. It underpins everything in marketing books. If this is the first time you've heard the word metadata, then a good place to start is bic.org.uk. Look at the menu there for BIC Bytes, and there is an excellent introduction to metadata along with loads of other free stuff. BIC is Book Industry Communication, and its role is in coordinating the communication and the supply chain between publishers, the books they publish, the libraries and bookshops that distribute them and sell them. Next, there is lots of free digital marketing training through what is now called Google Digital Garage. You should focus on Google Analytics and Google Keywords and work through any free training that is offered. Then you should look at the publisher's social media. How often are they posting? How are they getting engagement? What are they doing well? And what could they be doing better? Events. What online events are they hosting? How are they marketing them? How are they reaching their audience? Have you attended an event or two from your favourite publishers? Again, what did they do well? What could they have done better? Administration. Make sure your IT skills are top notch. Excel, I can't go on about Excel enough. In particular, make sure you understand pivot tables and VLOOKUPs. Learn how to quickly create imaginative PowerPoint. And if you can, teach yourself the basics of InDesign. Now, I mentioned InDesign in the previous episode, 93, although that was about acing interviews. I did go how you could learn InDesign for free and the basics, what you need to know. So do go back and listen to that episode. Now, as you will have worked out, none of those suggestions requires formal training or qualifications. If you're unemployed, taking a training course isn't going to instantly make you employable. Even if you use this time to get a CIM diploma in marketing, a professional qualification, you still might find that you're up against a candidate who has spent time looking at the marketing campaigns of others and they get a job over you. So take a step back and focus on the skills and competences for the job you require. It always comes down to skills and competences. I'm going to leave it there for today, but remember, if you're stuck, do get in touch, book into the Careers Clinic or email me at suzanne@bookcareers.com. I'm a little behind with emails at the moment for a variety of reasons, so please do bear with me. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.